John on the Isle of Patmos, Chapter 120. Probably you are anxious to know what happened to the other apostles, are you? I am unable to tell you very much, but of some I briefly will try to tell you something. As you already know, Herod beheaded the apostle James with the sword. You can read that in Chapter 106. We saw in the previous chapter how Paul was beheaded by the cruel emperor Nero. In the beginning of Acts, when we told you about the apostle Peter, it was he who said to the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." It was he who was spokesman in the affair of Ananias and Sapphira. He cured the palsied Aeneas, who lived in the village of Lydda. At Joppa he raised Tabitha, or Dorcas, from the dead. Cornelius the centurion sent for him to come to Caesarea, and there he preached the gospel, and in the last narrative of him, we told you how an angel miraculously delivered him from the prison in which Herod had put him. We scarcely read anything else about Peter. Some say he made several extensive missionary journeys accompanied by his wife. You can read that Peter had his wife with him in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 5. According to the historians, Peter visited Mesopotamia, the land where Abraham had lived centuries ago. However, I cannot say that for certain. He also visited Rome, and there, according to some writers, was killed by Nero on the same day as the Apostle Paul. Peter was not beheaded, for he did not have the right of Roman citizenship. He was crucified because he was a Jew. It is also told of him that just before his death, he asked the Roman soldiers, "May I, before I die, ask a favor? My beloved master was crucified with his head up. I am not worthy to die in this way, for I denied him 3 times. Crucify me with my head down and my feet up." Mockingly, his executioners did this, and in this way, Peter entered eternal glory. I cannot tell you more than this about Peter. We are told by some that the apostle Andrew, the brother of Peter, was crucified. His cross consisted of 2 pieces of wood nailed together exactly in the center, forming an X. People still talk about St. Andrew's cross. Probably the apostle Philip was bound to a post and so left to die from starvation. Bartholomew, Matthew, the former publican who was first called Levi, Thomas, and Thaddeus all died as martyrs. Probably Thomas was murdered by the savages while he was in India preaching the gospel among the wild heathens. James, who wrote the Epistle of James, was killed in Jerusalem. The Jews brought him to the roof of the temple and cast him down from this high spot so that he was dashed to pieces. There were 2 apostles by the name of James. Both of them were killed in Jerusalem. The first was beheaded by Herod. The second was pushed from the temple. This has been written together purposely so that you would not be confused. According to some writers, Matthias, the apostle who was chosen after the resurrection of Jesus, was stoned and afterwards beheaded. It seems as if Simon Zelotes also died a martyr's death. As you can see, nearly every apostle was killed, one sooner and the other later. But every one already has long been rejoicing before God's throne. Now they are eternally with their Master, who prepared a place for them in his heavenly kingdom. They shall arise in the day of judgment. Then they shall eternally glorify their King with both body and soul. I can only tell you something about one more apostle. Listen. The small island of Patmos lies in the Mediterranean Sea, to the north of the larger island of Crete. The length of Patmos is only about the distance of a 3 hours' walk, and its breadth is about 2 hours' walk. Most of its area consists of nothing else but bare, hard rocks. It appears as if formerly many palms grew upon it, but now that is not so. A solitary man is roaming upon this small island, which is in the midst of the sea. Oh, what is he doing there? He cannot leave the island, for there is no ship to be seen anywhere. Who is this solitary person? He is the Apostle John. After Pentecost, we read very little of him, but of all the apostles, he lived the longest. Paul founded the congregations in Asia Minor, but when he was imprisoned and killed, John went to Ephesus, and there, as their shepherd, he preached for many years. From there, he governed and guided the seven churches of Asia Minor. Violent persecutions broke out in these congregations. Some writers tell that in many ways the cruel heathens attempted to kill the Apostle John, but they were not successful. Yes, even at one time John was to have been immersed into a large pot of boiling oil, and he is supposed to have felt nothing of it. The Apostle John left the pot of boiling oil as the young men left the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. If these stories are true, then the Lord miraculously kept the apostle from a death by martyrdom. Finally, a certain Domitian ruled over the mighty Roman Empire. He was a cruel emperor and a bold persecutor of the Christians. Oh, he could not endure that one Christian should remain alive. He tried to exterminate every one of them. During his reign, the Apostle John was banished to the little remote island of Patmos. Thus it was that John roamed about there as a solitary man. One day, the day of the Lord, thus a Sunday, he was again walking on the island. Ah, perhaps he was thinking about Ephesus, where he otherwise would be preaching. He could not preach at this time. He could only walk over this uninhabited island without being of any value. Of no value? Oh no, not that, because the Lord showed him a vision. What did he see? Listen, but be attentive, for it is not easy. Suddenly he heard a voice behind him. How could that be? Wasn't he there all alone? Yes, he was. Still, he heard a voice which talked to him. John did not know this voice, therefore he turned to see who was speaking. And then? Oh, he saw seven golden candlesticks. That is to say, seven golden lamps. Between these candlesticks, he saw the form of a man. In this vision, he saw a man clothed with a long garment. This garment was encircled with a golden girdle. His head and hair were white as snow. His eyes sparkled as the flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as though burning in a furnace, and his voice was as the roaring of a mighty river. The Bible says that his voice was as the sound of many waters. This man had seven stars in his right hand. A sharp two-edged sword went out of his mouth, and his countenance was as the sun shining at midday. John feels that he is in the presence of God. Heavenly brilliancy and glory shines all around. It isn't any wonder that John, in holy reverence and fear, falls upon the ground as dead. Then the Son of Man puts out his hand and touches John. Listen, the same voice speaks again. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. After that, the Lord Jesus shows John in this vision what is going to happen from that time until the day that Jesus shall come upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. The apostle must write this in a book. John did this, and this book is the last book of the Bible. It is called the Revelation of John. What are the contents of this book? Boys and girls, it is very difficult for older people to understand, and therefore for you it is far too difficult. I will tell you some things. First, John had to write a message from the Lord to the seven churches in Asia Minor. They are his congregations. The devil is trying to destroy these churches by causing all kinds of errors to undermine them. John must warn them that they must change their practices, and if they will not, the Lord will come with his judgments. The light of God's word would be taken from them. This very thing happened because not very long afterwards, these churches were destroyed. The Turks came and conquered Asia Minor. To this day, the doctrine of Muhammad, the false prophet, prevails there. Further, the Lord Jesus reveals to John that terrible times will come. These days will come before the day of judgment. The devil will attempt to completely destroy the church of God. The prince of darkness will rage more and more against the people of the Lord. For instance, John sees a red dragon which pursues a woman. This red dragon represents Satan, and the woman is a portrait of the church of God. This red dragon has always pursued this woman, and it will remain so until the last day. How many martyrs already have been killed because of their faith? The ground of many nations is saturated with the blood of martyrs. If the great king had not protected and kept his church, it would long ago have been swept off the earth. The Lord gave John to see that wars, pestilences, and famines would come. First, John saw a white horse, upon which one was sitting with a bow in his hand and a crown upon his head. This means that the word of God will extend over the entire world. The gospel will be made known to every nation. This does not mean that it will be known over all over at the same time. No, one nation sooner, another nation later. After that, John saw a red horse. He who sat upon this horse was given power to take peace from the earth. He was given a large sword. This red horse pointed to the persecutions, but it also foretells the many bloody wars which will come. The rider receives a large sword, a sword to kill. A little later, the apostle saw a black horse, and he who sat upon it had a balance in his hand. The Lord revealed to John that this black horse foretold the times of famine that would come as a result of the terrible wars. During times of wars, the fields and orchards are trampled upon, causing the harvest to be lost. The rider on this black horse had a balance in his hand, which means that sufficient food would not be available for everyone. The food will be weighed, and each will receive only a small amount. Think back to the time when almost everything was rationed and had to be bought with coupons. Finally, the Lord caused John to see a pale horse, and he who sat upon it was called Death. The consequences of these severe judgments of God would not be lacking. Many shall be killed with the sword. Pestilences shall break out as a result of famine, from which numberless people will be dragged to the grave. Oh, the devil is a great murderer of mankind. It is true, his principal purpose is to oppress and persecute God's church. But if God permits, he also will attempt to make life in this world almost unbearable for the unconverted. Satan is never more pleased than when the greatest destruction is upon the earth and many people die. There have been many wars already. Only think of the two world wars which are just past. Millions of people have been slain by bombs and grenades. Thousands have perished from starvation and want. Who can count the numerous victims? It is known to God alone. Nearer we come to the great day of the Lord, the heavier the judgments of God will become. God will reckon with mankind who continues to live in sin, but foolish mankind does not turn unto the God of heaven and earth. We read in the book of Revelation that men blasphemed the God of heaven because of the plagues, but they did not repent. O children, do not seek your happiness in this world, for then you will deceive yourself. The world is hastening with rapid strides to its destruction. The whole creation, which now groans under the curse of sin, will burn with fire. However, John may view other things in this heavenly vision, which encourages and comforts his soul. The preaching of the gospel shall not be in vain. It is true, millions shall reject and despise God's word, but by the operation of the Holy Ghost, many shall be washed and cleansed through the atoning blood of the Savior. It is revealed to John that they will be a multitude which no man can number. God shall gather his elect from among corrupt mankind. Not one of them will be omitted. Let the devil rage and let the wicked oppress and persecute the people of the Lord, but they will not perish. God will keep his church to all eternity. The great day of reckoning will come, which will be the judgment day. Everyone will be summoned before God's throne. The wicked shall receive the reward of their unrighteousness. That reward is eternal damnation, eternal separation from God and His favor. This day will be a dreadful day for the ungodly. However, for God's people, this day will be a blessed day, their day of victory. They shall be acquitted because Jesus interceded for them. He is their advocate. They may inhabit the new Jerusalem. Oh, John sees the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. This new Jerusalem has its gates of pearls and streets of gold. He sees them standing, both small and great, with harps, giving praise to God to all eternity. Is it any wonder that this exiled apostle desires this heavenly glory and happiness? Is it any wonder that he anxiously longs for this great day of the Lord? Listen to what he says. Even so come, Lord Jesus. John saw many more things on this Isle of Patmos. He wrote all those things down in the book of Revelation. I will not write any more about it, for it will be too difficult for you. The Apostle John did not die on Patmos. He returned to Ephesus after the death of Domitian, and there he preached for many more years. Finally, he is so old that he cannot preach any more. Then he permits himself to be carried in the church, and these are the only words he would say: "Little children, love one another fervently." Quietly and calmly, at a very old age, he entered into eternal blissfulness. The Lord kept him from a martyr's death. Oh, boys and girls, are you looking forward to the coming of the day, the great day of the Lord? Or are you afraid of it? Are you hoping and wishing that that day will not come? Poor children, if you continue to live on unconverted, this day will come. It will come suddenly. It will come unexpectedly when no one is reckoning upon it. In that day, we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, every one of us, without exception. But how shall we stand there? Trembling? Full of fear and terror? Or with a happy glow upon our face and a heavenly peace in our heart? Shall you yell in agony of terror, "Mountains, fall on us, hills, cover us"? Or will you shout in ecstasy of joy, "Even so come, Lord Jesus"? There are but two ways. It is either the one or the other. Children, do not live on unconcernedly. Consider the seriousness of life, for whether you believe it or not, that day, that great day of the Lord is coming. He is coming quickly. You still are living in the day of grace. The possibility of being saved still exists. Pray daily. Yes, plead continually for mercy and forgiveness. Are there any among you who fear God? If yes, then do not fear, for the Lord Jesus will never forsake His people. He will take them to Himself into eternal glory. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The cow and the bear shall feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The end.